Take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 15. John chapter 15, I want you to find verse number 1. Then if you would please stand with me, we're going to read the scripture together while you're standing. If you have a cell phone on, we'd ask that it be turned off or be turned on vibrate. That way it won't go off during our church service. John chapter 15, starting with verse number 1, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. If you'll notice, if your Bible has red letters in it, the red letters are words spoken by Jesus Christ while he was here on earth. Now, the whole Bible is the Word of God. The red letters merely say these are words that Jesus spoke while he was in a human body here on earth. But it's all God's Word. But what we're about to read is Jesus speaking while on earth. John 15, verse number 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in ye, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And let's pray. Father, use the scripture today and help me, Father, to teach it and to present it in such a way that we'll be challenged in our Christianity to do what you're instructed here, to be producers of much fruit. Bless the simple sermon. Help those that have an interest in fruit to increase their interest in people and heaven. Bless us now with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to tell you a very quick story. I'll apply it in the sermon as the morning progresses. I travel and I'll go away sometimes on a Monday and Tuesday, and I'll go somewhere and preach, and then I come back home in time, of course, to be here for our church on Wednesday night. A few weeks ago, I was traveling. I had flown up to the New York area, and while there, I was there to speak, and I was staying at a hotel. And while at the hotel, I get up in the morning quite early, and I'll then leave my hotel room. I usually go down to where they serve breakfast, and I get my Bible out and take my briefcase and my sermon notes and everything. And most of the time, I end up in their little place where they have, I think they still call it a continental breakfast or a buffet breakfast. I end up in that little area. And they're not putting the food quite out yet. And so I go in there and I'll turn on a light and I just kind of take over two or three tables and get my Bible out and my study books out. And I'm over there studying. And then I watch them set up their breakfast. So I was watching as this gal was setting up, I'll call her the maid, whatever her duty was, she was setting up the breakfast. Huge area. And there was food, she's putting out all sorts of food everywhere. And I mean it, pastries and cinnamon rolls. And boy, sometimes those cinnamon rolls got icing about 3 inches thick on it, and they're hot. And boy, they smell so good. And I mean cereals of all sorts, you know, Fruit Loops and you know, just you name it, just the food everywhere. And then I watched her. She came out and she had a bowl with fruit in it. She brought it out. She threw it on top of the microwave. It looked to me like there was one or two apples, one banana, one orange, a pear, and there was some wax paper in it to puff it up to make it look full. And she threw that on top of the microwave. Well, I was sitting right there. And I said, not much fruit in the spread. And she said, our patrons are not interested in the fruit much. I basically put that out there for show. And I thought, that reminds me of most churches. putting on a show. Not much interested in fruit, just putting on a show. In the scripture that we read just a moment ago, we see here the teaching of the vine and the branches. Verse number one, Jesus said, "I am the vine," meaning himself. He said, "Ye are the branches," meaning the Christians. The second half of the verse, Jesus said, "My Father is the husbandman." And what he was meaning by that is that God, the Father, was the farmer, the gardener. He was the owner of this process. And then he makes it clear that we, you and I, are, as Christians, we are to bear fruit. Now, I'd give you just a real quick little lesson. And I look out and see some very intelligent people. Not all of you, but most of you. Relatively intelligent. A little lesson. Do you know that the fruit of a peach tree is what? Peaches. Right. Good. The fruit of a pear tree is what? Pears. The fruit of an apple tree is what? Good. The fruit of a banana tree. Bananas. Then what would the fruit of a Christian be? Another Christian. Right. Fruit trees produce fruit. Fruit of the same kind, if you will. You won't go to a banana tree and find an apple, and you won't go to an apple tree and find a banana. Now, Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30 says this, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Now, the word righteous there, it's talking about those of us that have been made righteous in Christ Jesus. In other words, a saved person will produce fruit. Matter of fact, not just fruit. If we're really doing our job, we're not only producing fruit, but we're producing other trees. So you and I, as Christians, we ought to be producing other Christians. And to be honest, we ought to be producing other Christians that are producing other Christians. There's a lot of different terms that could be used for it. We should be witnessing. We should be winning others to Christ. We should be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. God mentions that we should not only be sharing the gospel, but we ought to be working at it and increasing our efforts at it. And even to the point where it says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So not just producing a banana, but a banana tree. Christians ought to want to produce trees, not just fruit, but we ought to want to reproduce ourselves. And that in regard to people being born again or saved. Now, as everybody in our church knows, it's our spring attendance building time. And so it's a time of increased harvest here at our church. Now, our church, it's always soul winning time. Always. 365 days a year. It's always harvest time. A couple times a year, we have what you might, if you wanted to use a scriptural term, we kind of have a more of a main harvest, a big harvest. So we put a little intense effort on it. If you're a guest here today, you could come to our church 52 weeks a year and there are people getting born again. We don't try to have a 2-week revival to get people saved and then ignore people the other 50 weeks of the year, but they're always getting saved. Notice the process there in John chapter number 15. The process and God's expectation concerning fruit bearing. So remember, Jesus said that, "I am the vine, ye are the branches, and we're to bear fruit." That's what he told us. So those of you that are born again Christians, we're to be producing fruit. He said this in verse number 2. He said, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Now, so you know, he's not talking about taking your salvation away from you. But he said that every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Now, let me explain. There are branches that produce zero fruit. That's the first thing he said. He used the term no fruit. Then he said this, "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." So there could be a zero fruit or there could be fruit. Now, he goes further. He then said this, "He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. So do you see the progression? Zero fruit, fruit, more fruit. Then, listen to what he said in verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Well, that's a different word altogether. So what happened? God said there are no fruit Christians, fruit Christians, more fruit Christians, and much fruit Christians. I like number 8 because it says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. You say, well, preacher, isn't God glorified when you bear fruit? Mm-hmm. More fruit? Sure. But God happens to point out that God is exceedingly glorified when you bear much fruit. I was eating somewhere the other day, and the lady that was serving, she cut me a little piece of pie. And I didn't pull my plate back after she put the little piece of pie on my plate. She said, did you want something? I said, more. She put another sliver on there, Brother Todd. I did not pull my plate back. She said, well, Brother Owens, can I help you? I said, I want much. And she gave me another little sliver, and I said, and this is what I told her. I said, herein is my belly glorified. Folk, fruit's healthy. Fruit will make you stronger. Fruit gives you energy. Fruit has its way of fighting illness and sickness and weakness. With that being the case with our physical lives, could I tell you then, bearing fruit is healthy for the Christian. It makes you stronger, gives you energy. It helps fight spiritual illness and sickness. Hey, did you know the same is true for a church or a ministry? Fruit makes it stronger. Fruit gives it energy. Fruit helps it to fight sickness and illness. The sermon is very, very simple. You know the outline as of this very moment. I want to talk to you for the few minutes that remain. I want to talk to you about much fruit, but the truth is, I'll ask you at the end of the day this question. Are you a no fruit type Christian? A fruit Christian? A more fruit? Or are you desirous of being a much fruit Christian? This isn't my idea. Jesus presented this to us. He wanted us to think about this. He wanted us to face that idea. So, let me say, number one, if this fruit bearing that he's talking about is getting people saved, then I've got a hunch it applies quite well because he makes it pretty clear. You know, an apple tree brings forth apples and a banana tree brings forth bananas. So, born-again Christians should bring forth born-again Christians, Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. That's talking about eternal life. And he that winneth souls is wise. That soul winning is witnessing. It's getting out the gospel. It's helping people to come to Christ. Now, if that be the case, let me ask you, where would you line up, Christian, in this harvest idea of fruit? Are you a no-fruit Christian? Now, to simply explain that, after you get saved, you ought to be telling people about Christ, and you ought to learn the process of helping someone to trust Jesus as Savior. That's what you ought to do. Now, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I do want you to be aware of the responsibility. And I realize I've got some veteran Christians in here, people that have been around for a long time. Brother Nofsinger, he came over on the ark with Noah. Been here for a while now. Mrs. Nofsinger, I think she's only 21. But I know we've got some veteran Christians in here, but you veteran Christians, you must understand also we've got some people who have been saved a couple weeks. They don't understand it all. So I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I don't want to hurt you, but I do want you to understand you could be labeled a no fruit Christian. Now, you may start that way because you're not real sure exactly what to do, but I've got to tell you, you shouldn't stay a no-fruit Christian. There's some of you, though, you've been around a while, and I'll kind of cut through just some of the fluff. There's some of you, you have never in your life ever won another person to Jesus Christ. That's no fruit. Now, we shouldn't want to be there. You ought not want to be there. And there's some you say, well, I've been saved a short time. Well, let me tell you what you do. You'll learn it and you'll figure it out. Let me tell you what you can also do. You bring people to church. There's some of you caught on. If you bring your friends to church, we'll get them saved. We're around here, we're like bees on honey. We want to get people saved. But I would say to some of you, you better face this thing. You are a no-fruit Christian. You've never shown someone through the process on how to be saved. And you don't want to be there. You shouldn't be there. And so there are no-fruit Christians. But wait, maybe you're a Christian that has produced fruit. Now, I'm going to take that at its simplest form. If no fruit is zero, and the word fruit, let's just let it mean one. Now, to get away from no fruit, you got to go through fruit. Have you ever won one person to Christ? You say, I have. Good. Good. You qualify for fruit. But you should not have won it to stop there. You say, well, where should I go? More. Now, most of you at the buffet, you want more. My wife, I like ice cream. Mrs. Owens will go to get me ice cream. Why waste so much of a bowl on nothing? Why give me one dip of ice cream in that big bowl? Almost always, she'll bring the bowl to me and I'll say, more please. Folks, listen, you ought to want to have more people saved. More. But then, Christian, there's another level. Much. Much fruit. And that's where we ought to be. Some, you've never won anyone, so you're a no-fruit Christian. Some of you, you may have won one. Folks, so you know, that's great. I am so pleased that you won one. But look, I really doubt that God left you on the earth for 86 years to win one person to Christ. Do you think He gotten just a little more out of you? Sure, a lot of food and air and energy pumped into your body to keep you alive for you to win one. Oh, thank God for the one. I'm glad you won the one. But the whole teaching here is God said, there's some no fruit. There's some fruit Christians. There's some more fruit Christians. And there's some much fruit Christians. Which one are you? Hey, now I'm going to tell you something. Remember the hotel story at the beginning? And the lady told me, our patrons are not much interested in the fruit. We put it out for show. And I told you, a lot of churches are like that. They're not really interested in getting people saved. If they would be, they'd be doing something about it. But hey, how often? It's been a long, long time since I've had somebody from some other church walk up to me and say, wow, we had 6 people saved on Sunday. Woo! It was great. Now you get to leave our church constantly and say, ha! Wow, we were picking fruit, people being saved. Well, while I was sitting in that hotel, in that area where the lady had thrown the bowl of fruit out, a mom came in, and folks, don't wear your pajamas in public. Put some clothes on. Good night. I go to the hotel, and here comes people with their pajamas on, walking around in public. And I'm thinking, good gravy, what's our society coming to? Well, but they're traipsing in, and everybody got their pajamas on. And the mother and her teenage son are looking at the food. The little maid that had spoken with me earlier, she's standing there. And the mother says to the teenage son, she said, would you want a banana? He looked at her and he said, yuck. Yuck! I looked over at the maid, and the maid winked at me. She didn't mean anything by it, honey. She winked at me. And you know why? Because earlier she had said, our patrons aren't interested in fruit. Let me tell you, now you got to be careful, because you start talking about fruit, you got people that are critics of the fruit. Especially people that don't want to have to ever produce any fruit. They'll criticize you if you stand up and start talking about producing fruit. Are you sincere? Is it all about numbers? What? Definitely not with you, because you never win anybody. But this scripture's in the Bible. You'd have to ignore it. And God said, don't be a no-fruit Christian, and I'd be glad for you to get a fruit, but maybe more and maybe much, because herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. But be careful, because you could develop a critical attitude about fruit. I was speaking to one of our good ladies that's in healthcare earlier, and we were talking about eating right and some things like that. And we were enjoying the conversation. Could I say to everybody here, fruit's good? And yeah, I know you have fruit flavored jelly bellies, and you think you're eating fruit, right, Brother Young? But folks, fruit's good for you. Nothing wrong with fruit. Don't be a critic of fruit, because fruit is healthy. And God uses it as an illustration for us. Now, my sermon gets even simpler, if that's possible. Stay with me. Let me tell you something. What type of church do you want, folks? What kind of church do you want the Twin Rivers Baptist Church to be? No fruit? Say none? Which, it happens all over the place. All over the place. There are no fruit churches. And if there are saved people in their church, they didn't win them. There are people that got mad at us and went over there. I pastored in 3 cities. Built lots of churches. Not with my people in my church. People got mad at me and went over there. They weren't winning any. The only action they had on the membership roll came from a church that was interested in bearing fruit. Preacher, we build a lot of churches with soul winning. Not always just ours. Do you want to be a no fruit church? You understand people that don't teach salvation rights, a no fruit church. Then there are some that there are actually saved people in it, but nobody getting saved. What kind of church do you want us to be? You want us to be a no fruit church, or a fruit church, or a more fruit church? Maybe we ought to be a much fruit church. And the further we get away from our roots and the closer we get to the end time, the fewer people are interested in the fruit. Doesn't mean anything. They want the entertainment, but they don't want the fruit. Folks, this is a lighthouse. This is not a museum. It's a hospital. We are here to help people. I'll tell you what I want. I want a much fruit church. Okay, how about this? Hey, bus workers and bus captains, what type of bus route do you want? No fruit? Fruit. That'd be good. More fruit. Every once in a while, bus workers and a bus captain get an idea. We want much fruit. Well, that's a good idea. That's how Jesus wanted it. And so a church, they're really going to kind of make a decision. Fruit? More fruit? Much fruit? Or no fruit? I think ministries within a church can do the same thing. Bus captain, you choose. What kind of bus route do you want? Workers, what kind of bus route do you want? No fruit? Fruit? More fruit? Or much fruit? How about this? Christian leaders. And many people in here have leadership roles in our church, and you don't have to have a title to be a leader. But if you would consider yourself a leader, what type of leader do you want to be personally? No fruit leader? Or fruit? Or maybe more fruit? Any leader in here, for God's sake, for God's glory, not for your own, You want to be a much fruit leader? That's the exact concept Jesus was trying to teach. He said to a bunch of people, guys, let me explain something to you. There are no fruit people and fruit people and more fruit people and much fruit people. Which do you want to be? Sunday school teachers. What a great crew of Sunday school teachers we have. Wow. Yesterday we had a meeting of all the Sunday school teachers and assistant teachers, and we had a full house. I am so pleased. I got to tell you, I looked at all those people. I said, goodness, what a good group of people. Kind of ugly, but good people. But hey, Sunday school teacher and assistant teacher, and let me tell you something. Every Sunday school teacher needs an assistant teacher that has a passion for that Sunday school class. But let me ask you, Sunday school teacher, what kind of Sunday school class do you want? No fruit? Fruit? More fruit? How about much fruit? She gave me a little piece of pie. I didn't pull my plate back. She gave me more. I didn't pull my plate back. I wanted much. And I hate to tell you this, but Brother Uriah, when nobody was watching, after I ate the pie she gave me, I went up and got more to take to my room. But it is good pie. Well, what, Sunday school teacher, let me ask you this question. Please face it for a moment. Which one? Which one describes you? Is it no fruit, fruit, more fruit, or much fruit? Okay. Everybody here, we believe in the family very much here at our church. We believe in the family unit. We had a family revival not long ago here at our church and made a big, big weekend of it. And thank God for the family. Hey, let me describe your family in a different way. What kind of family do you want to be? No fruit? Oh, wait, what kind of family are you? No fruit? Fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. What kind of family do you want to be? Is it true that we are to witness? Is it true we are to spread the gospel? Is it true that he said that, well, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine? That's not just you walking around smiling all the time. That's you telling others about Jesus Christ. He said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full. He said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He said that we are to go tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, what kind of family do you want? No fruit? Fruit? More fruit? Much fruit? Hey, some of you adults, you can thank God that some of your teenagers go soul winning because they are producing fruit for your household. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but it's not your example that's creating it. It's the teenager's example within your home. And thank God for you young people. Keep winning folks to Christ. But I know that's a little bit different way of seeing your family, because I'm not talking about how big is your boat, and I'm not talking about how big is your house, and I'm not talking about how much did your car cost, and I'm not talking about how fancy are your clothes, and I'm not talking about how big is your 401k plan. I'm asking you, is your family keeping anybody out of hell? Seems to me like that's bigger than how much your riding mower cost. Fruit. Fruit. No fruit. Fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. Hey, let me ask you this. What type attitude do you have? No fruit attitude? Fruit attitude. More fruit. Or much fruit. But everybody here has got an attitude. What is your attitude about fruit bearing as a Christian? You don't care, you don't have any, you don't want any. You're a no-fruiter. Fruit. Got me one, that's it. I'm off the hot seat. I'm glad I'm not a no-fruiter. More fruit. Much fruit. My poor family has lived with a much fruit drive all of my life, night and day and year after year after year. We just wanted to keep everybody out of hell that we possibly could. But what attitude do you have? No fruit? Fruit? More fruit or much fruit? Because you do understand, all of this applies to us. This is exactly what Jesus was saying. He was saying there is a productivity, and that productivity is a personal responsibility. And you either are not getting anybody saved, or one, or a couple, or more, or much. And he said, I want you to face it for a moment. Let me approach it from another aspect. What is the best investment of your money? Think about this. What is the best investment of your money? If I had an orchard, let's go with apples. You came to me and said, I've got $3,000 I want to invest in an orchard. And I said, mine's the one. Now, we have never had any apples on any of our trees, but I would be glad to receive your $3,000. You would go, what? Are you crazy? Wonder if I said, I've got this one tree, and I got one apple off that one tree. I got a picture of that one apple that I got off that one tree. Write the check. You'd say, crazy. Now, more fruit, that might make a little bit difference. But if I were investing money in an apple orchard, and a guy told me, I've got much fruit. Matter of fact, I don't even know where to put them all. Our barn won't even hold all the apples that we're picking. Whew. You know what I'd do? I'd say, right there's the orchard I want to invest in. Now, doesn't that make sense? When if you're going to invest your money in the stock market and somebody says, we never have made a penny for one of our investors and we probably never will, write the check, you're going to say, are you crazy? But if somebody said, we are making money hand over fist, much moolah for our investors, you're going to say, hey, how do I spell your name? I'm ready to write the check. But monetarily, that makes sense to you. Could I tell you how many people invest all sorts of money in ministries and in churches that never win anyone to Christ? What are they thinking? Hey, what should our missionaries be like? No fruit? Fruit? More fruit? Or much fruit? Now, you have to understand, every mission field is different. Hey, there are places where you go to the mission field, you might not win millions of people because you got to learn a language first. And there's so much that goes into it. But the missionary's philosophy should be not that I won one and I'm satisfied. There are missionaries that never win anyone to Christ. Fruit, more fruit, or much fruit. And may I apply it? On the mission field, every missionary ought to be after much fruit. But much fruit on the mission field is kind of different from field to field. So you're not always comparing apples to oranges, but you're always dealing with fruit. Okay, let me go on. We have a spring program. In this building are members of our church. And members in our church, you will, by your behavior, demonstrate in regard to your connection or your part in the spring program, either no fruit, fruit, more fruit, or much fruit. Kind of like a revival. What will your part be? No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Let me apply this another way. What should our goals be for our ministries? We have our ministry, our church. This Twin Rivers Baptist Church is a ministry of Jesus Christ, and our goal, we ought to have a goal for our church in regard to being productive for God. But wait, even within our church, there are multiple ministries. You have a ministry. What is your goal? No fruit? Fruit? More fruit? Much fruit? You know, wonder if, now I like basketball. Wonder if I went to a basketball player and I asked him, I said, well, what's your goal on the court? And he said, no points. Would y'all be putting him in the game? No, what's your goal? I don't want to score any points. Wonder if I said, what's your goal for the game? And he said, One point. Now, one point can win a game. But when you got four quarters and his goal's 1 point, I'm wondering if we couldn't get a little more out of that boy. Maybe more. But you know who I want to put in the game? I want to say to a guy, what's your goal? He said, much points. Much points. Listen, what's your goal? If you were a basketball player on the Lord's team, and I said to you, what's your goal? You say, I don't score any points. I'm afraid to score points. I'm not going to score any points. You say, that is ridiculous. I know, but you have an attitude about fruit. Okay. And I'm not done yet. You got to hang in there. You got a few minutes. But what kind of preaching do you like? No fruit preaching? Wouldn't you like it if the preacher would never prod you and never tell you of your responsibility and never quote the verses about being productive? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just suck up the air conditioning and have some fellowships and have mashed taters and banana pudding and we have some special music groups come in and sing and we'd just dainty around. Well, and the preacher never stand up and say, people are dying and going to hell. And the preacher never stands up and reminds us of our responsibility to witness. There are some people that would, they prefer no fruit preaching. Or maybe if we would keep one out of hell every once in a while so we could say, yeah, we had someone saved at the church this year. One. This year. And it was a nice one. She was pregnant, so really two. And I apologize, I really don't know a lot about no fruit preaching and fruit and more fruit. Since I was a 16-year-old boy, I've been preaching much fruit. You say, why? Herein is my Father glorified. Wonder if our entire church was like you. Would we be a no-fruit church? Let's say everybody was like you. Now we're talking about your example of fruit bearing. If everybody here were like you, would we be a no-fruit church? You know what? You wouldn't even want to be a member if everybody was like you. Because you want to be a member of a fruit-bearing church, but you're not. Would we be a fruit church? We are a bit of a fruity church. A more fruit church or a much fruit church? Hey, let me ask you this. What's your history? What's your history? Have you always been a no-fruit person? Don't you think it's time to change that? Is your history fruit? More fruit or much fruit? But wait a minute. If your history is much fruit, are you a backslidden fruit tree? Because you used to bear much fruit, but not anymore. You used to bear much fruit, but not anymore. You used to at least bear fruit, but you're a no-fruit Christian that used to at least bear fruit, or more fruit, or much fruit. Say, well, I paid my dues. Nobody has paid their dues. If you're alive, your dues aren't paid. You'll know when your dues are paid. You say, when is that? When you get to heaven, where everything is lock, stock, and barrel, and you can't win souls anymore. Hey, let me warn you real quickly, and I'm done. And then I'll say something else and be done again. Let me warn you about no fruit. He said in John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he taketh away. And that doesn't mean you lose your salvation. There's just loss. My mom, one day she said to me, boy, I brought you into this world. I can take you out. And you know, I believed her. And God said, if you're a no-fruiter, there can be loss. Loss of what? Yeah, I don't know. You can apply it any way you want. You pick what the loss is. But there's loss. No fruit will cost you. You say, why? Because the reason he saved you and left you here was not to just watch television, but to be productive. I'm finished. In a second, I'm going to ask you about two decisions. First of all, I ask you if you're saved. If you're not saved, I wish you'd get born again. It's a great, the best thing you'll ever do is get saved. But right before I get to that, I wanted to do this. I want to challenge everybody in here that's a born again Christian. I want to challenge you to do something today. I want you to pick. What do you want to be? You want to be a no-fruiter? It's church. Why don't you make a decision? I want to be a no-fruit Christian. Or maybe you'd say, I want to be just fruit. Maybe you'd say, I want to be a more fruit Christian. Now, I'm not asking you what you are right now. I'm asking you, what do you want to be? Or would you say, I want to be a much fruit Christian? You say, Pastor, why would I choose that? Because herein is your Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So, we're almost done. Christian, no fruit? Fruit. More fruit, much fruit. Which do you want?